little Mix-a-Lot. Put them on the glass. What's he talking about?
I don't know.
The wipers? Put the wipers on the glass?
I never know what he's talking about. What glass?
Put them on the glass, says Sir Mix-a-Lot.
I would love to be at their party to figure it out, though. Even though I don't know what they're talking about.
I told you, when I was a promotions director up in West Palm Beach at a radio station called Star 95, we brought in Sir Mix-a-Lot. This song, he was trying to, you know, find his next Baby Got Back. It wasn't happening. But he did this song, Put Him on the Glass, and we hired him to do a club date for us. It was a club, I think it was Splash Beach Club on Okeechobee Boulevard. And they did bring out a giant piece of plexiglass, and the club goers, certain gender in the club, was invited to put them on the glass.
You went first?
Honk, 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 honk. You only live once. So
then once y'all yell,
YOLO.
Actually, we got Sam coming on. When I first got to the Dolphins, I partied. Now I went hard. Sam didn't even act like he was gonna hang out with us young guys.
He was beyond that.
Hey, Sam, man, Friday's practicing at noon. Man, it's noon, bro. Let's slide up the cocoa. Nope. I'm not messing with y'all. No, leave me alone. Sam wouldn't even act like he's hanging out.
All right, well, Sam Madison, legendary Miami Dolphin, is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Is that true, Sam, that young...
Put him on the glass. Yeah,
did young Channing Crowder want to party with you? And veteran Sam Madison said, nuh-uh.
Absolutely not, y'all. Hey, I'm too old to be doing all that. Not to see enough putting it on the glass, and I already know Channing gonna try to have me out at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm old, man. I gotta be able to run in the morning. They was already laughing and joking at me on Wednesday because I can barely move out there. So I was like, nah, I can't be giving them extra ammunition, man. I gotta make sure I'm all prepared for the days of practice.
Yep. Some of the vets would go out, but they would be hurting, but they'd still do it for us. Sam would be like, nah, hell no,
were you a partier, though, in your first days in the league, your first years in the league, Sam?
Absolutely. I had Mr. Fort Lauderdale, Calvin Jackson himself, to show me around town, so I was in a little bit of this and a whole lot of that. But, you know, like I tell you, I think I did more in 2 years than most people had done in their whole lifetime. I had enough. I was like, this. It's no mods. No mods.
You tapped out.
Absolutely. I tapped out early. Hey, listen, I ain't seen a whole lot of NFL players beat Miami, so I gave mine up. I turned it in as well.
Sam was a 9-year vet by the time I got there.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. He was way out of the game by then.
He wasn't running after us no more.
He had already been through his a little bit of this and a whole lot of that. Sam Madison is with us. Dolphins are 7-7. We talked a lot yesterday. It was a very different Monday than the previous Monday when they had the Miami Miracle. So Dolphins are 7-7. Yeah, the game Sunday, that one felt like an emphatic end to the season for me. It felt like anything that you might have been expecting, it was like I felt like we kind of got slapped back to reality. Did you get that feeling or no?
Yeah, you know, when you have that balloon and it's a happy birthday balloon and then, you know, it's in your house for like a whole week and then you see the air just slowly seeping out, that it started coming out very, very fast. And you was like, no, is this not happening? Is this happening to us right now after last week? But, you know, man, this is a football team. I mean, you never want to hear it. And the players, they really aren't talking about it. But, you know, the things they – and it sounds like a broken record, the thing that they're going through during the season. Last year with the hurricane and all the different personnel that was going on with the football team. Now this year, the number of injuries that we have over the course of the whole entire football team, losing the playmakers that we brought in to help us get over that hump, it's just really tough to be in this situation. But the bright side is these young players that we have on the roster. You know, when you have these young players on the roster and you get to the latter part of the season, you want to put them in and see exactly, you know, what they can do. And you look at Balazs the other day and you're like, where has that been? We had Frank Gore, so he couldn't really get on the football field. You have Kenyon Drake, who's a home run hitter, but now you know the pieces that we've drafted over the last couple of years. you have something to root for. But guys don't want to look to the future. They want to look right now, and they want to be productive right now, and they want to be relevant in the NFL for as cheering on their teams. And fans are a little bit frustrated, and, you know, we're in that same position where we're not bad enough, you know, to be in the top, to get those top players. And, you know, we are pretty good where we're not in a situation to where, you know, we're at the bottom of the barrel. So we're in a catch 22. And but Cameron Wake on the podium after the game kind of summed it up for me. You know, he's been coming to that podium year after year, week after week this past season, and he had that energy that, okay, we're going to keep going. We're going to keep digging. We're going to keep fighting. Yesterday, you know, Cam didn't even come and put on his suit. He just got on with a regular Nike shirt. And you know that, you know, when you see Cam in a situation like that, you know, it's starting to wear on him.
And, Sam, that game, it looked bad because it started off 21-0. They came out like they didn't want to play. But I kept talking about yesterday. At one point in the end of the third quarter, it was 21-17. That is a ball game. And then the next four Dolphin drives, Sam, all fourth quarter drives, those four drives had 18 plays in them. All together, they made negative 6 yards, had 6 sacks. Yeah. Is that explainable, Sam? What happened? Because I was looking, and I didn't know what the hell was going on, because that's embarrassing.
Well, you know, the things that happen is, Tanny, you know, when there's a blitz that's called, or if it's man-to-man, and if your guy blocks, you know, we always say if he blocks, you just add to the rush. And those linebackers, those safeties, they were creeping up to the line of scrimmage, and you can hear the offensive line and Tunsil saying, yeah, they was coming with some exotic blitzes, and we didn't know where they were coming. No, it wasn't any exotic blitzes, but when you have personnel, your personnel, your running back or your tight end is blocked, you just add yourself to the blitz and find the open gap and put pressure on the quarterback. So they was adding guys up to the line of scrimmage, but, you know, it just came to a situation where we know that you have to pass the ball. We know that you can't block us, and we're going to do what is going to make us successful, and you're going to be unsuccessful. And they did it. They blitzed, and they whooped our tails up front, and 9 sacks later, more than or tied for the most sacks of a Dolphin quarterback in franchise history. So this is something that we've been seeing. We can go back to that Cincinnati game where it just was an influx of twists, TE stunts, ET stunts, and I go back and I talk about it all the time. I was like, how are you not able to be able to see a TE stunt or ET stunt when we're talking about the tackle in the end, whoever goes for, or the end goes first and the tackle goes second? Why you can't pick up that blitz in the National Football League?
Sam, we run that in high school, don't we?
Absolutely. The TE stunt and the ET stunt. That's why I was like, how is it all of a sudden that this is some type of exotic rush formation that we've never seen before? It's just one of those situations where it just kept catching me off guard, and I'm not really used to it. But these guys, they have a couple more games, and they still are mathematically in it. They're not out of it yet. So look for these guys to come out and play extremely well. This week, it's the battle of the Sunshine State. You have us versus Jacksonville Jaguars. Jaguars think that they're a pretty good football team and tougher than the Miami Dolphins, and they're going to come out and try to prove and show that as well and try to get another win because they've been on a downward spiral.
Sam Madison is with us. Do you have any idea what Stephen Ross is thinking? There was some video of him walking underneath the tunnel there in Minnesota. He did not look like a happy camper.
Yeah, you know, Mr. Ross, every week he comes down, comes down for the week, comes down to the field, to engage with the players, the teams, and the coaches. And, you know, he's a person where, you know, he wants to win. I mean, he's the guy that, you know, when you look at this franchise, he wants to do what's best for it. And, you know, as of right now, if I was the owner and I'm putting everything together, I wouldn't be a happy camper as well. But, you know, this is a situation that we're in right now, and he understands these situations. It's not going to, you know, be a Super Bowl championship team. It's not going to be built overnight. But you know, 7-8 years now, I'm pretty sure he thought it would go a little bit faster. It's taking longer than he expected, but, you know, I think he's definitely going to hold some people's foot to the fire after this last game. You know, when you look at the course of the last few years, he's been using people to make best decisions for him. But right now, Mr. Ross, I think, and just looking at his body language, like, you know, I'm getting fed up with this, and I'm going to try to put the best product on the football field. And he's going to, I think, do something drastic at the end of the season if it doesn't turn around, just because of the way that we've been winning these football games and losing those very close ones as well. But he's going to have some very tough decisions to make. But his football team, we have some pretty good players. Now we just have to get that depth to be able to sustain us when we do have a negative or something happen to our number one starting players.
And, Sam, you talk about something impactful, you know, something drastic, some kind of change because of what's going on now, 29th in defense, 29th in offense. That's not good enough. What's the most impactful change to an organization, a change at GM, head coach, or quarterback?
You know, one of those things, when you always look at the draft or at the end of a season as a player, all of those guys in that locker room, they understand and they know exactly what they need to really help that football team, you know, transform into a winning organization. And, you know, year after year, you know, guys don't really say anything about it. You know, they just let the organization handle that. But, you know, I've been in a couple of different situations. I've been in a situation where we've changed GM. I've been in a situation where we tried to change quarterbacks and head coaches. The one thing that I've seen throughout the course of my career playing and just observing from the outside and the inside is that one player. It could be that player or the coach. Nobody really cares about the GM. They're like, okay, just give me somebody here that can play football. I don't really care who it is, as long as, you know, it's a live and able body and they can learn and they can move and they can do the things that the defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator wants them to do. But, you know, it really comes down to the if it's the head, a specific head coach. Just say when Jimmy was coming to the Dolphins from Dallas. That was a big move. Everybody around the country was like, oh my God, Jimmy Johnson just moved. And that, now you look at McVay out in LA. When they first hired him, nobody really said, you know, McVay is gonna do this, he's gonna do that. It just was a situation that, like, okay, we'll see. But when you add the type of players that LA added and now you see the production, everybody's gung ho about McVay. And even when they had a guy like Jimmy coming down here, but if you get a quarterback that could come in and look at the things that Cleveland is doing, it just depends on which way you go. General manager, I don't care who it is. Nobody's going to really care. All they're going to say is, hey, get somebody in here and help us win football games. But for me, it's either going to be the quarterback or head coach. Either one of those guys could definitely change the attitude and the momentum in a franchise and an organization.
Sam Madison, legendary Miami Dolphin. We love speaking with you. Thank you for making time for us, Sam.
Put them on the plexiglass, man. Put them on the glass.
Now get out of here and go get into a little bit of this and a little bit of that.
A little bit of what?
Yeah, a little bit of ass.
A whole lot of that.
A little bit of
ass. A little bit of ass. What? What was I thinking? See you, Sam. Sam Madison there. Everybody's favorite Miami Dolphin.
What's wrong with you? You got excited.
You can listen to every Dolphins game right here on WQAM. It's sponsored by Game Time at the Shops at Sunset Place. Game Time, watch it, play it, win it. And by Transworld Business Advisors. Looking to sell your business? Let the experts at Transworld Business Advisors help you get what your business is worth. Log on to tworld.com and make sure you listen to the Dolphins right here. AM 560, 96.5 FM HD2, WQAM. QAM.